Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of ScaryCast. This is Dr. John Stamey. And you know, sometimes you meet people that are so engaging and so exciting and are doing great things, you just got to get them on the show. So not only will this be on ScaryCast.com, it will also be on online ComicExpo.com here in a couple of days. We are so happy to have with us the one and only Michael Farr from Tampa, Florida. He's a filmmaker. Michael, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great up here in Myrtle Beach. It's hot, and we don't have anybody here. I mean, it's like, I guess they all left. We have a ban on tourists for the coronavirus. How's everything in Tampa? Is it cold, hot, and is anybody there? What's going on?
It is humid and hot, and they shut down all the beaches, so there's not really anybody around. So everyone's pretty much inside.
Do you know what that really means? That really means that you, as a filmmaker, as a producer, director, editor, everything you do, it means you can work and not worry about missing anything, right?
Exactly. The good thing is I can still work on stuff and be productive. The bad thing is sometimes when you're working on stuff and you're productive, you need a break, and I can't really go out anywhere to take a break, but that's okay.
Well, buddy, we're giving you a break here on ScaryCast, so yeah. We're doing our part to help your mental state. How's that?
Yes, that is perfect.
All right. Well, now, when I met you, I knew very quickly you were a film producer, director, actor, and editor, and you're involved in a couple of projects. The first one that we talked about, this is kind of a scary title. It's called Clown Roulette. Tell us about this film. Is it going to come out? What can you tell us about it?
All right. What I can tell you about Clown Roulette is it is a short film. It's directed by Kai Hornick. I play one of the, there's about five cast members, so we're all kind of supporting. I'm kind of the lead, but still supporting. And it is about a clown who takes four other people as hostage, and he forces them to play sort of like a game of Russian roulette. And the cool thing is, it recently got accepted into a film festival, and with all of the coronavirus stuff going on, they turned it into an online film festival, so they have a live award show for it on Wednesday, April 1st, and that's at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I actually got nominated for Best Actor in a Supporting Role, and I found out this morning that they also got nominated for Best Hair and Makeup and Best Costume Design, so that was pretty cool, because I didn't know
that is great.
Congratulations.
Now, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the film, but I'm going to preface with a little bit of a scary and sad story, if I may. When I was in the sixth grade, there was this boy named Clyde. And Clyde was, he was always really cool to me. He was the biggest bully in school. But he always liked me because his mom was a nurse and my mom was a nurse and we knew them. And I always thought he was a great guy. But he just always felt like he had to bully everybody. And then one day, the idea of Russian roulette or clown. Well, I hope you heard that. We may have had a little dropout. You still there with us?
I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll retell my story. I had a great. Did you hear that story?
I heard the first part, and then and then I couldn't hear anything.
Sex Martin didn't. So anyway, my buddy Clyde and this friend of ours, Junior, they played Russian roulette, and Clyde lost. It was just astonishing when you're in the sixth grade. I mean, you don't know what life and death is like in the sixth grade. And it was just horrible. And the idea, I think I would be frightened if I saw your film, just because I have been through the, and this is in dumb little Morganton, North Carolina, up in the mountains. I would have been very, you know, it was such a sad day for all of us. And so tell us just enough that will whet our appetites, because hopefully we'll be able to see Clown Roulette soon. I'm certainly going to be watching it and putting up a review, and I bet it's going to be good because you're one of the lead actors. But I mean, tell us just a little bit about it so that it won't spoil the ending. Is that okay?
Yes. I'm trying to think what to say to not spoil the ending.
So okay. Well,
I will say this. I know there's some people that don't like clowns and are scared of them and find them disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
If clowns frighten you to that degree, you probably do not want to see this. However, if you want to actually be scared because they do frighten you, then this is the appropriate thing for you to watch. It's only about like 7 or 8 minutes, so it is a short, and it originally was supposed to be part of a bigger feature, and then I guess they kind of changed the outcome of how it was going to go. So he might turn this into a feature. I don't know if it's like a complete go or not. So hopefully it will get turned into more than what it is. But it literally starts out with 4 people that are all tied to chairs. And they all have their faces painted differently, like in different kind of clown faces. And they literally have no idea what's going on. And then it kind of unfolds from there.
All right, that's enough. But I will say it sounds like an interesting film. Now I've got, I think, an important question. Why do you think people have a fear of clowns? Why are some people scared of clowns?
You know, I honestly have always wondered that. I'm going to say that maybe it's the fact that a lot of this is just me assuming. I mean, a lot of clowns probably don't really talk, especially like the mime kind of clowns or like the circusy kind. I'm going to guess because they're silent and because you can't actually see who's behind the mask, that I think maybe if kids are traumatized by that, then I think they grow up having a fear of them. I was never scared of clowns, so I personally don't really get it. But I'm assuming maybe it's the silent aspect and the fact that you can't really see what's behind the painted face. Maybe that the unknown is maybe what's terrifying to them. I'm not really sure.
Right. And one of the classiest and most frightening horror films ever made was Carnival of Souls. Now, have you ever heard or seen that film?
I have heard of it, but I have not watched it yet.
It is absolutely disturbing. It's about a young lady that gets a job as a church organist. And she goes to be in California. And she keeps seeing a very strange man in her rearview mirror every time she stops or whatever. And then ultimately she goes out to a pier, or what they want to call a I forget what they want to call it. But she goes out there. It's an old, old carnival that is not used anymore. And several times she is terrorized by people and some clowns. And as comical and as funny as the clowns look, they are terrifying in carnivals. And I'm sorry, it's called a pavilion. And they had several of those out in California. And in fact, as the producer of Scary Cast, I'm going out to see a couple of those and work on some projects in Los Angeles. So I'm looking forward to going to the actual pavilion that they went out and they used for Carnival of Souls. But, you know, even as cheerful as a clown can look in a bad setting or in a terrifying setting, a clown can just it just maximizes your fear. And so I think whoever the director and producer were of your film, I think they were spot on if they wanted to scare somebody. I mean, do you believe that if someone sees this for the first time and there's a normal child, whatever normal is, do you think they're going to be scared? Maybe.
I think there will be a definitely an unease feeling. Like, I had my mom watch it, and she's not really scared of clowns or anything. And halfway through and when it was over, she said, "I don't like it." She said, "You were good in it, but I don't like it." She's like, "That was just mean. I don't like it." She just
"I don't like it" meant I was scared of it, right?
Yeah. So she said I was good in it, but she didn't like it. Out of everything I've done, she didn't like it. Like, she was like, "Okay, I saw it. I don't think she'll watch it again." But so yeah, I think there is a definitely suspense and a definitely an uncomfortableness to it that will probably bother people in a good way, because that's what it's supposed
to
do.
Well, no, it's, you know, it's got to bother them. Let's not skirt around the issue. It's got to bother them. That's what a horror film is about. I did a promo with Sonia Thompson of The Walking Dead. And Sonya is the lady that has had the most camera time on The Walking Dead of any woman who's played a zombie. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking, "Yeah, Sonya, scare me." She scared the hell out of me. I was so expectant. I was running away from her. And I mean, you know, I'm a pretty normal guy, and she terrified. A good actor or actress, and I'm sorry, I'm old school, I'll use both terms, but a good actor or actress, they can just go from being your friend and hanging out, they can scare the living daylights out of you, can't they?
They can, yes.
That's
why
she went please finish, but I want to say she went to being one of my favorite actresses ever because she's good. She could go from putting her hand on my shoulder to making me want to run away. And when I did, I ran away. I was scared. I guess I was a little girl. I was scared to death, you know. And I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say, I think the one thing that scares people, that's probably the most disturbing in Clown Roulette, is my character's laugh. Right? I think that's really what, because once stuff starts kind of hitting the fan, he just elevates. and I think it's the laugh for sure that will definitely, if I didn't get you until the laughing comes, I get you at the laughing.
All right, now you know what the next question has to be. Can you scare me with your laugh?
Can I scare you with your laugh? With my laugh?
With your laugh. Yes, sir.
Let's see if I can get it there.
All right. So let me start it. Michael?
Yes?
I'm a guy, and I would never be frightened of you. Although I'm very concerned that you have tied my hands behind this chair.
What? Let's see. Dandy's laugh would have been like... My roommates are going to think I'm absolutely insane right now.
You probably are because you're a star, so that's okay. All right. I'm going to repeat it. I'll repeat it. You're ready. And
like, very much like that, but it's worse. It's better in the thing.
I don't want you hanging out with me and my hands are tied behind a chair. I just don't. I don't like that. I'll be like your mother. I don't like this.
It's better in the
show. I don't want this. I'm sure it's frightening and good. So, and that's why we watch horror films, you know, because we all like to get scared. We really do. I guess it's sometimes a need. So anyway, it's really great to talk to you, because not only are you, because we talked, you know, several times before this, you're also, not only are you an actor, but you're a director, you're a producer, you're an editor, you're a writer. You have many, many talents and all. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get started in acting? Or, you know, because I guess you got started in acting before you became a horror film star and worked in movies. So give us a little background on you, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah. My background, I had gone to Ringling School of Art and Design. Well, they changed the name, so now it's Ringling College of Art and Design. But when I was there, it was school.
It's a great school. It's a great school. And we all know that. It is. Congratulations on that.
And I have a BFA in illustration. Now they have a film section, as they have like editing and film and all that, four majors. When I was there, there was only five majors. So they have expanded into the film and that side of the art for editing and all that. But I have a BFA in illustration. And while I was in college, I was part of the student theater at Ringling. So my first thing that I actually did was I was assistant director. It was a, I don't even know if I remember the name of it, but it had four segments. I think it was David Mamet's All in Timing. I believe that's what it was. And so there was four different segments. So one of the segments I was in charge of assistant directing. And then later that year, the next year in the summer, I went back home to Connecticut, and I took my acting classes there. I studied at Manchester Community College in Manchester, and then New England Academy of Theater in West Hartford. And then when I came back to school, I also, through the theater program, studied improv for a year, and then I had gotten a part in the plays. So the last like 2 years I was in the plays, and my senior year I had a story development class, and I also had an acting class, which was through the school, but it was at Florida Studio Theater in Sarasota. So that's kind of how I got into it and learned how to, a lot of people want to act, and I think a lot of people should, but I think that a lot of people should learn how to do stuff. A lot of times I have people ask me, and they're like, oh, well, you do your own stuff, so can you just put me in? And I'm like, well, I mean, you can audition, because I have auditions, but I think a lot of times people, they get very eager and excited to do it, but they don't put the right steps in place for them to be able to do it. So I think that's important for people to know. Like anything, you need to learn what you're doing so that you can be good at what you want to do. So then,
well, I agree.
About like, oh, sorry, what?
No, I just said I agree.
Oh, okay. So then about 10 years later, I had done some independent films. So the first couple I did, they never actually got released. And then I had auditioned for a project called Brainjacked that is like a sci-fi horror film. And it was through the Film Ranch International. And that was really cool. I got to play Charles. That film is about runaway teens that end up getting shelter provided for them by this doctor, but the doctor wants to experiment them to master mind control in exchange for them to not be homeless. So that's kind of like, that's not ruining anything. That's just kind of like the plot. It's a fun movie. And I play Charles, and Charles is very animalistic, but so then after that, I had gone and decided that I wanted to take my screenplay that I had in college called Victimized, and I wanted to expand it. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to figure out a way to do this independently and low budget. The whole story takes place in one night. It's about two brothers that don't get along, and they've never gotten along. and the one brother blames the other one for all of his problems. So he has it in his head that if he were to get rid of his brother, he's going to get rid of his problems. It's a suspense thriller. It sort of has a horror angle to it, but it's more of a suspense thriller. And everyone always asks me if I have a brother, and the answer is no, I do not.
Well, maybe that's good, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, so I did that in 2009, and then I appeared in Herschel Gordon Lewis's The Uh-Oh Show, the writer-director from Brainjack. They wanted me to audition for a different part, but I was in pre-production for Victimized, and I was like, I need to focus on my project. And so then after I came back from filming, they said, hey, we have a little more stuff that we want to add to the film. And they said, your name keeps coming up. So would you be okay? Do you have time to do this? So it was really cool because I got to work with some people that were on Brainjack tour there filming, and the same makeup artists and stuff like that. So that was nice. And then it's just kind of one of those things where I feel like you end up getting more projects or more auditions. I mean, it's kind of like that connection thing, because I've always seemed to get more projects from other projects that I've been on. So after that, I ended up on, I'm looking at my IMDb page so I don't forget anything. I did some shorts after that with Michael Thomas Morgan, and I did 3 shorts with him, Wicked, Backwards, The Thief, the Wife, and Charles, and Bubblegum. I think Thief, the Wife, and Charles, and Bubblegum are on YouTube. Wicked, Backwards never totally got a final edit. He moved on to the other projects, and then, you know, how artists are. You're like, oh,
now,
that
no,
was
no,
my first
no,
one.
No,
not
no,
good
no, hold on. Me. Hold on. How are artists? Tell us that.
Okay. So when you do one project and then you go ahead to other projects and then your other projects come out before that first one's done, or even if the first one is done and it's out, a lot of time, most of the time, you improved drastically. The newer stuff obviously is better. It's the stuff you'd want people to see, because that's, you know, you at your best compared to, you know, something that was a couple years ago that was your first thing. So then
okay.
You kind of are like, I don't want this to come out. I don't want people to see this, because, you know, I think artists are most critical of themselves, and I think they think the first thing is bad. And so by the time his second and third project came out, and the third one was the best, which was Bubblegum, it's very interesting. And he just never put the first one out. The first one is a lot of my acting demo, though. So I did put a lot of stuff from Wicked Backwards in my acting demo. And I still beg him to today to
go ahead and put it out, at least stick it on YouTube or
Facebook or something, just because I want to see it. But no luck yet. So if you're listening, Mike,
oh,
just look at that.
Oh, well. Yep.
But
yeah, I get
he was
that.
Awesome.
And, well, that's wonderful. And so that's great. So you've been in the business quite a while, and you've got a good bit of experience. And I guess you would ever roll with Jack Nicholson or Johnny Depp, and you'll be set.
I'll be all set.
That's right. And if Stephen King writes The Shining 2, I'll shoot him an email and tell him to consider you.
Oh, that would be amazing.
As the grown-up Danny, that would be frightening. Or maybe we should just write ourselves, shouldn't we?
I mean, if you don't want to wait, yes.
Now, buddy, you talk about not wanting to wait. They used to call me Panicky John. I am ready to do it yesterday. So maybe we'll after this show, and we'll just do the following to The Shining, and you can play the 28-year-old Danny. And of course, Mom and Dad have passed away. Scatman Carruthers was brutally murdered, and there's a new dude in town named Dr. John. I wonder who that might be. So it would be great. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll we'll talk about that. But you know what? This is how projects happen. I can tell you that the whole Los Angeles Paracon is going to happen. As I was talking to one of my co-hosts, his name is Eli Watson. He was on with me last night. We had a really good interview with Diane Pope. And what happened was, we just started talking to things. The idea of doing a paranormal Comic-Con in Los Angeles just came up, and we just decided to do it. We've already got people interested, and then, of course, came coronavirus. So, you know, just talking about projects and everything can make them happen. So, yeah, at least that's what I think. And so anyway, that's, you know, that's one thing. And then you told me you've got other projects going on that you're kind of working on right now. So yes. Can you tell about that? Good.
I am in post-production of my second film that I wrote and directed, and I'm editing now, and I play Nick Dillon, and that's still up the film called Inheritance. And between Victimized and Inheritance, I had a 10-year span, so this is technically my second project that I'm actually, you know, directing and writing and all that. And it is a murder mystery horror type of film.
Sounds great.
It's like
great.
Suspense drama, murder mystery. And it's about the two, it's about Nick and Steve Wellington, who come from a wealthy family. And everything ends up being left to them. The parents are murdered. And neither of them want to share. They're both trying to come up with their own scheme to get rid of the other one. However, no one knows that someone is actually killing them off one by one. So it's fun.
So not only does each one of them have an enemy in themselves, but there's another enemy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So it's fun. It was a lot going on in my head because I have like 19 kind of characters, like speaking role characters, and then of course not, you know, I don't want to give away who it is when you're watching it, and so I tried really hard to make sure I wasn't giving away whoever the killer was and all that, so you get to obviously the finale. And yeah, it was like Victimized was very simple because I had like 8 cast members and it was one location for the night for the suspense thriller. But Inheritance played the opening and then 2 weeks later, and then I had a 3-day span. So it was like Victimized on steroids.
Okay.
For locations and all that. But we shot in Wesley Chapel and Tampa and Seminole. And I got some, and my friends let me use their really cool thing areas of their house. And so, yeah, it was fun. It was hard, but it was fun. I did it. 15 days, but we did it.
All right, and now what's the status right
now? I am in between a rough cut and a final cut for the picture, and then it will be going to get scored and sound edited. And then once I decide on the final cut and it goes to the other people, then I'm going to go ahead and get a trailer together and all that. And I think, fingers crossed, I think today there might be an actual movie because I talked to Jerry. He's doing that poster and he did the logo. And I think we might have it today. If not today, it would be by the end of the week that there will be a poster. So that's cool. I'm excited because it looks really cool. I want to put it up.
Let me ask you this. Once
yes.
you get it, can you have a copy to post all over our websites?
When I get the poster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great. We would appreciate it. Me and all of my Confederates and potential murderers would appreciate it very much. And I'll tell you what, and I just thought about this. We have a podcast called Murder 123, and if you would like sometime, we could have you on the show, and you could talk about the murder aspect. I think that'd be kind of
cool.
Yeah, we talk about some infamous murderers and infamous people. And we talk about H.H. Holmes. We've talked about, I had a couple of episodes on everybody's favorite from Florence, South Carolina. I can't think of his name right now. This is terrible. But, we have a lot of murderers we talk about. It's very interesting. Pee Wee Gaskin, that's who it is. And we have determined that maybe Pee Wee and several other murderers were treated so badly as children, they pretty much had no choice to become serial killers. So it may not have all been just them. So maybe we can talk about your characters in the same light as our real characters and see if we think they really were driven to it or if they just were badasses and just wanted to do it themselves. So we'll see what we can do. But anyway, it's great hearing about the projects you've done and you're working on. Can you tell us, and I know people often can't, but what are you thinking about doing in the future? Any, producing more films or acting or what are you looking at doing in the future?
In the future, I am supposed to be filming a film called Window with a View. It's supposed to film in Kentucky. It obviously is temporarily on hold right now. So I don't know when, but that is the next thing that I'm acting in. I play Sheriff Dempsey in Window with a View. And as far as writing and that kind of stuff, I have a couple more ideas. I have about like two or three more ideas. Every time I get through a movie, I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. I like showing up and acting and doing my part and going home, and everything else can be a headache for someone, but I did my job and I'm done. So I like acting the best. I do like writing, but I like acting the best. So I said after Victimized that I would never write and direct and act at the same time again, and then, I did it for them. So I can't say I won't, because I probably will. Like, I'll just be realistic. But I do have a couple ideas. I have about two or three ideas, but I haven't written them. They're just in the back of my head kind of thing.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're certainly addicted to the film industry, and that's always that's a good thing to be addicted to, don't you think?
Yeah, I definitely, when I'm working on stuff and I'm there, I'm perfectly content. As long as the days were with Inheritance, and I don't think I slept more than 5 hours a night, and some nights I don't even think it was five. I think a couple it was three. And I still was like, okay, we're going to do this. This is going to be good. Like, I didn't let the exhaustion. To me, it still was, I wanted to be there. It was with the worst headache for the day, whatever day it was, I still would have rather been doing that than something else.
Well, definitely. I mean, film is a little bit on the hypnotic side, and it's a lot of fun. It really is. It sounds like you're in the middle of beginning a career that's going to take you a long way. So, I mean, I tell you what, it's been a pleasure being with you, and I'll talk with you very soon about maybe coming on Murder 123 and talking about the potential murderers and nefarious things that happened in your upcoming script versus some of the things we've had, and see how they work together. So we'd love to have you back on behalf of everybody on Scary Cast, and we want you to stay safe, very safe here during these times. We want you to still be around when we call you to interview again. How about that?
Yes, that sounds good. And I have been in my apartment for like 12 days.
So we virtually got you outside of your apartment. That's great.
Yes.
You are out in the whole virtual world right now, so that's good. So anyway, thanks for being with us. It's been great having you, and we will talk with you soon on ScaryCast or one of our other shows. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon, Michael.
All right, thank you.